or something that I like to do during the seasons of Advent and Lent is to change the format of my homilies a little bit. And what I've done in the past is I've broken my homily into two parts. And the first part is more of a kind of catechetical talking about a particular aspect of the Mass or our faith and diving into that and explain why we do what we do, especially here at Mass. Because there's so many things that we just kind of go through the motions that we forget that there's a deep richness and reason why we do some of the things that we do. And so it's helpful, I think, for all of us. It's been helpful for me kind of going back and relearning even things myself. And then after that, there's a part two, which is a regular homily, just shorter and a little bit more to the point. And so for part one today, I thought that I would comment on the very first thing we often do when we walk into church, and that's bless ourselves with holy water. And this is something we do so often that we probably don't even think about it anymore because we're so used to it. Now, the first and main reason we do this is because it reminds us of our baptism. It reminds us that through our baptism, we are made into beloved sons and daughters of God, children of God, saved by His grace and through baptism made a member of His church. And we literally sign ourselves with the water that made us so at our baptism. In fact, it's what allows us to kind of walk into this church as its member. It just makes for a very beautiful moment then, because the very first thing we do upon entering this church is to affirm our identity as a beloved son and daughter of God. Whenever we walk into the church and dip our hand in the holy water and make that sign of the cross, we're affirming who we are and reminding ourselves of who we are, that we do not enter this church as guests or strangers, but as beloved sons and daughters. We enter into our Father's house, which makes it our house. Now, in addition, this act of blessing ourselves also contains the bookends of how Christ has saved us. We use holy water, which reminds us of Jesus' own baptism, which was His very first act of salvation, and then we make the sign of the cross that marked the last act of salvation that Jesus did. And so, in that one act, we're remembering the beginning and end of how Jesus rescues us and expresses the history of salvation. There's even a prayer to go along with this when we sign ourselves. There's actually a prayer that we can say, which is, "By this holy water and your precious blood, wash me of my sins, O Lord." Connecting these two events, that through baptism and Christ's suffering and blood on the cross shed for us, we have the forgiveness of our sins. Now, finally, since we do this at the entrance to the church, that's why the holy water fonts are often by the entrance to the church, it marks a time of transition when we are leaving the secular and entering into the sacred. It's a time that prepares us for prayer, allows us to not just jump from one thing to another, but prepares our hearts. And so by blessing ourselves with holy water, it is an opportunity for us to consciously leave behind all those anxieties and those anxieties of daily life, as we hear in our gospel, and allow ourselves to encounter this place of peace, rest, and encounter with God. And so to kind of bring it all together in conclusion, the reason we sign ourselves with holy water is because it reminds us first and foremost of our identity as sons and daughters of God through baptism. It expresses the salvation history of our faith and marks our transition from our secular life to the sacred life, that of prayer. So it's amazing to think that, you know, we do that kind of subconsciously, and yet there's so much packed into that small, small act. All right, that was part one. On to part two. I was blessed in August to be the presider for the wedding between my cousin, who I'm very close to. and is now wife. And because I was close to my cousin, who's actually 5 years younger than me, I was able to watch the relationship between he and his wife grow over the years. And I remember early on in the relationship, when they were just starting to date. And my cousin was living in this place of eager anticipation, that constantly he was eagerly anticipating the next chance he would have to encounter this girl who had stolen his heart. And I have to admit that for me, it was actually a little bit annoying. Because whenever we were together, no matter the situation, at the very slightest buzz of his phone, it was out of his pocket, and he was checking to see if that text or call was from her. And so I found it a little like, hey, like, this is our time together. What are you doing? And yet, in the midst of that very slight annoyance, it was really beautiful to see his eager anticipation that text or call was from his now beloved wife. And when it was, the joy that emanated from him. So his life at that time was one of sitting at the edge of his seat at all times, excitedly waiting and hoping that his phone would go off at any time. So eager he was to be in contact with the woman that he loved. I hope that all of us in some way know and have experienced what my cousin was going through. That anxious waiting for the person we care and love to reach out to us. And this really is the taste and experience of Advent, the season that we enter into today. Where, like my cousin, we sit at the edge of our seat, eagerly anticipating and encounter a so-called spiritual text or call from the God who loves us so much and we love as well. Now, the problem we can run into, especially this time of year and as our gospel warns, is we can become drowsy. We can find ourselves spending these next 4 weeks of Advent caught up in the busyness of the secular season, which causes our anticipation and our relationship with God to become dull. And we no longer sit at the edge of our seat, but lay back in it. And our focus shifts to the more secular things of this season. We must be like my cousin, who did not allow anything going around him, even if it was his cousin, to distract him from his readiness and attentiveness to the call of the one that he loved. And so I encourage all of us this Advent season to consider what each of us can do so that this Advent is not like others before, ones where perhaps we have drowsily gone through the motions, but an Advent that finds us on the edge of our seat, eagerly anticipating and waiting for that spiritual buzz, letting us know that our beloved God is calling out to us. For as I saw with my cousin, there is no greater sadness than that of realizing our loved one has reached out. And because of our drowsiness from drinking in the secular season and the anxieties of daily life, we were distracted and missed the very one who has stolen our heart.